This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalm 118 and verse number 24. Welcome to Back to the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Weiss. Thank you for tuning in today. Today's lesson is about searching the Scriptures for God's truth. When Jesus was standing before Pilate just prior to his crucifixion, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This question, "What is truth?" is being asked by many in the world today. Existentialism is a very popular philosophy that says there is no absolute truth. According to existentialism, each person's own experience and wisdom establishes what truth is. Your truth may not agree with my truth, but both are equally true according to this philosophy. Each person becomes his or her own standard of truth, of right or wrong. This philosophy is seen in the me generation in which you and I are living today. People have their heart set not on what makes God happy, but what makes them happy. For example, God hates divorce, according to Malachi 2 and verse 16. But with the explosion of divorces in this country, it is clear that husbands and wives are seeking their own desires rather than what will be pleasing to God. So, what is truth? In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." In this verse, Jesus is praying to his heavenly Father. Therefore, Jesus recognized that it is God's word that is truth. In Titus 1, and verse 2, the Bible says that God cannot lie. The psalmist said in 12 and verse 6 that God's word is pure. Also in Psalm 19 and verse 7 it says that the words of the Lord are perfect, converting the soul. And in Psalm 119 verse 44 it says that the righteousness of the Lord's testimonies is everlasting. God's word is the ultimate truth. Any word or teaching that man may invent, which is contrary to God's word, must be rejected. God's truth has a power that goes beyond any truth that man may invent. John 8, verse 31 and 32 says this, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the words of Jesus himself. Jesus' words teach us that the truth will make you free. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God had given to Adam specific instructions. He could eat of any of the trees of the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told him that the day that he ate of that tree, he would surely die. In Genesis 3, we read about Eve walking through the garden when the serpent tempted her, asking, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Eve answered the serpent with God's words. Then Satan, in his cunning way, said, "You will not surely die." He changed God's truth into his own lie. God's truth would have given them eternal life, but Satan's lie brought death into the world. Down through the history of man, Satan has never given up tricking people. He has grown wiser in his deceitfulness. He is working very diligently today to turn you away from God's truth unto his lies. And he is very successful at what he does. If you don't believe it, just look at the world around you. You will see Satan's influence alive and growing. In Acts 17, Paul preached the gospel in the city of Thessalonica. In verses 2 and 3, it says that he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, that is, from God's truth, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." In verse 4, it says that there were some who believed the truth and joined Paul and Silas. But in verses 5 through 10, those who rejected the truth became envious and set the city in an uproar trying to discredit the truth of God. The situation was so dangerous, they sent Paul and Silas away by night to the city of Berea. When they arrived, they began to preach the truth of God there in that city as well. Listen to verse 11 of Acts 17. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." These people of Berea were called fair-minded. The King James Version says they were noble. Why? Because they received the word with a ready mind. But this wasn't the only reason. Although Paul was an inspired man who could do miracles, they did not believe Paul's preaching until they did something first. They searched the Scriptures to find out whether these things were so. After searching the Scriptures and finding these things to be so, verse 12 says this, "Many of them, that is the Jews, believed, along with many Greeks, prominent women as well as men. This is a great example for us today. Too many times we believe something to be true because, quote, my preacher said it was so, unquote. Preachers are not infallible. Paul himself said, test all things, hold fast that which is good. And so we need to be testing what a preacher may tell us by what the Bible actually says. Can we all see the Bible alike? It has been said that you could line up 100 preachers and ask them about an interpretation of a specific passage of Scripture, and you might get 100 different answers about that passage. That may be very true, but this argument is only a smokescreen. It is an attempt to divert the attention away from the one truth of God and put it back into the hands of men. This argument is saying that my opinion is as good as your opinion. Well, as far as opinions go, that is absolutely true. But the question is not how many different opinions someone may receive. The question is how many of those opinions are God's truth. If all these answers are different, there can only be two possibilities. Either all 100 are wrong, or only one is right. Remember the words of Jesus, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now, if it is true that the truth will set you free, what would you rather hear? 99 wrong answers, or the one truth that will set you free? Paul said, "Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar." That's in Romans 3 and verse 4. Yet too many times we allow our own selfish desires or worldly wisdom to prevent us from seeing God's truth. There's a story that has been passed around on the internet about a young man who was graduating from college. For many months he had admired a beautiful sports car in a dealer's showroom. And knowing his father could easily afford it, he told him that that was all that he wanted for graduation. As graduation day approached, the young man watched for signs that his father had purchased the car, but there was not a hint of any new car to be seen. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was of him, how much he loved him, and then he handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious, the young man opened the box and found a brand new leather-bound Bible there. The son was very disappointed. His disappointment turned to anger. He raised his voice and said, "With all your money, and you give me a Bible?" and stormed out of the house, leaving the gift laying on the desk in front of his father. As the years passed, the young man became very successful in business. He had almost everything that life could provide. He had a beautiful home, a lovely family, but he had never returned to speak to his father. Neither had he seen any need for God in his life. In fact, he had never even brought a Bible into his home. As his own children grew, left home, and neglected him, he began to realize how important that relationship was. And he began to desire again to go and see his father. He thought perhaps he would go to him and make amends. But he kept putting it off until one day he received a telegram telling him that his father had passed away, and he needed to come immediately to help take care of his father's things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to go through his father's things, and there he saw, front and center on the desk, was that Bible that he had left laying there that his father had given him all those years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. He found one that was marked, Matthew 7 and verse number 11. And there he read, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" As he read those words, a car key dropped from inside the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, that same dealer who had the sports car that he wanted so much all those years ago. And on the tag was the date of his graduation and these words, "Paid in full." This story is fiction, yet how many times have you missed out on God's blessings because you wanted to hold on to your opinions rather than take hold of God's truth? Jesus said, "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father." That's in John 8, verse 38. In verse number 40, Jesus said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God." Abraham did not do this. John the Baptist spoke these words about Jesus. "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, and what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true." These words are found in John 3, verse 31 through 33. Friends, we need to follow the example of the Bereans who searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. Let us go back to the Bible to hear God's truth and to put that into practice in our lives. It is God's truth that will guide you on the narrow road to heaven. Thank you for listening today. May God's blessings be with you.